Verse 5. And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Now Mark chapter 1. Verse 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and had a leathern girdle about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, There cometh after me he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And now Revelation 5. Verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back, close sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a great voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no one in the heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look thereon. And I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the book and the seven seals thereof. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he hath taken it out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and so forth. And look at verse 11. And I saw and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things that are in them heard I saying, Unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, you have left us with no doubt about the worthiness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you have recorded for us the testimonies of men on earth and of beings in heaven as to who is worthy. And the one is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Our God, our hearts would weep much too if we looked throughout the earth to find someone that was worthy. But it would be in vain. But there has been one found in heaven, and in the coming day he shall open that book. We rejoice in this, and we desire to hear about him this morning. So, Father, by thy Spirit, prepare the hearts of those who are here. We thank you that they've come, let them not be disappointed, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and let your Son be glorified. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do not misunderstand the meaning of the title I gave to the message I'm speaking today. I did not say that Jesus becomes of worth to people when they grow old, but this is what I said. I said the increasing worth of Jesus to his own as they grow older. Because if you are a child of God, if you are one of his own, you understand that Jesus has increased in worth since you've grown older. Whether grown older as a child, a young man in Christ, or as an older man in Christ, Jesus has become more worthy to you in your estimate, in your evaluation, but not in the estimate of God. For this reason, in God's estimate, his worth is incalculable. His worth is inestimable. But what happens is this: with our finite minds, when we trust him as our Savior, we know something of his worth. And then, as we grow older, there is an increasing worth of Jesus to those that are Christ's own. At least it should be. Sad to say, some, when they trust Christ, they find him of some worth, and then later in life, because of the lack of dedication, because of the absence of consecration to this one, it seems that rather than increase in worth, Jesus decreases in worth. But that is the exception and not the rule for this reason. To every truly born again child of God, as they grow older, Jesus in their comprehension increases in worth. And that causes us to rejoice. Think of anything that you have experienced, that you have thought much of in life, and usually as you get older, that thing doesn't become so important anymore. And you think back, how was it that I placed such devotion upon this object? And then you understand that instead of increasing in worth, it decreases in worth, and you laugh at yourself. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I have never found any true child of God who says concerning Jesus, you have decreased in worth since I trusted you as Savior. And that is a remarkable thing. So I said that the message today is the increasing worth of Jesus to his own as they grow older. And is there anyone here who is not growing older? And so I did not say that he becomes of worth when you get old, but that he increases in worth in your estimation as you trust him and as you grow older in Christ. If you read the first epistle of John, he breaks down the people of God into two, but we'll look at it as three categories. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And so, those to whom John wrote are children, young men, and fathers. We'll look at them that way. And so, if this is so, to each one in that age group, the Lord Jesus means something to them. And in like manner, we who have trusted Christ as Savior, we will see of great worth in the Lord Jesus concerning one aspect of our lives. Because God does not give us a full understanding, but there is a progressive understanding and development and appreciation of Christ. And then, finally, if you reach old age and maturity, you will understand what Paul is asking and praying for us to do, to know the length and breadth and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And if it passes knowledge, well, at least we are to seek after a comprehension of this worth of Christ in his love, in his compassion, in his forgiveness, in his long-suffering, in all of these areas. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, then, as we grow older, there will be an increased estimation of the worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I purposely read three passages, and in all of them, there is both unworthiness and worthiness. I spoke about the prophet John the Baptist, and the Lord Jesus said there's no one greater than he. So here is the greatest among the prophets without superior. And speaking of Christ, he says, I am not worthy to stoop down and loose the latches of his shoes. And this is the greatest prophet that God could send upon the scene. And he says, I'm not worthy. And then the Lord brings to our attention a Gentile, a centurion, who has a high position in the Roman army, and he beseeches the Lord Jesus to do something for a servant. And the Lord Jesus graciously says, I will come and heal him. And the centurion says, Lord, he said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Think of this. Here is this soldier that has 100 under him, and he gives orders to them, and they obey him. And he says, I am not worthy that you should enter my home. And we come to the book of Revelation, and we look not at prophets, we look not at Gentile centurions, but we look at God's universe. And there is salt, one man that is worthy. And the universe is searched, and nobody can be found. So let me ask you this. If nobody in God's universe is worthy, except the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one who is worthy of your trust, your devotion, your consecration, your life? You say, the one who is honored in heaven, the one whom the living creatures and the elders and the angels and every created being, he is the one that is worthy, and he is the only one that is worthy. God says, my glory will I not give to another. And yet the Lord Jesus says this, God has determined that all men honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And this is what the Father says concerning the Son in the Old Testament. He says, this Son of mine, this man is my fellow, my equal. And that is why I stopped reading in Revelation 5 when the whole universe is falling down and worshiping and praising the Father and the Son, because in your King James it says, they fell down and worshiped him that sat upon the throne. But you'll find that the most ancient manuscripts simply say, they fell down and worshiped, meaning unto him who sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. It means that the Father and Son were jointly worshiped. And so if anyone ever doubted whether Jesus Christ was God, this puts an end to the matter. The man at God's right hand is one whom, when he came into the world, God commanded, let all the angels of God worship him. And when this Son gets back to heaven, all the angels in heaven are worshiping him. And so he's back in his element once again. In Isaiah 6, before he became man, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And John in chapter 12 tells us, Isaiah saw Christ and was speaking of him. And so what the Lord Jesus is experiencing now as the risen Savior is not a new thing to him as the Word, because from the beginning he was worshipped by all the angels in heaven. But now, as the one of whom Paul speaks in Philippians 2, the one who went to the lowest has now been raised to the highest. God is determined that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in Revelation 5, we see a beginning of that coming to take place. So we rejoice. And what happens is this, that Christians, those that belong to the Lord Jesus, as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they appreciate him, the increasing worth of Jesus to his own as they grow older, and that is what happens. Now, you're liable to think that perhaps there is no appreciation of Jesus until you grow old, but that is not what I said with those words, and that is not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches that from the very beginning, there is a comprehension of the worth of Christ, but it is limited at first, and then it becomes extended. Because this is what the Scripture says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God exhorts us when we are young to remember. And finally, he sends upon the scene the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are to remember. We are to remember the Lord Jesus in our youth before the evil days come. Because when the evil days come, that is when Jesus, our Lord, will become more worthy to you. He is not increased in value, but you have understood the fullness of the gift that God has given you. And so God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. And what is so beautiful in the Bible is that though I gave you three areas in which men understand about the Lord, young men, children, fathers, the Lord gives us yet another. Before children became even children, it said that parents brought their infants to the Lord Jesus Christ, their little babies, and they said, we want you to lay your hands on these babies and bless them. And the apostles rebuked them and would have driven them away. But the Lord Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said, permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And it says that our Savior took the children from the hands of their parents and held them in his arms and laid his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, that is when the Creator is to be remembered. before you personally are able to do it, your parents should be those who bring their children and seek the blessing from Christ upon them. And it happened just some months back. A dear couple from India, the mother gave birth to twins. And when those twins were just a few weeks old, they brought them to the assembly and they said, John, we want you to hold these children in your arms and bless them. And I'm always afraid to hold children. But I said, yes. And so they brought one twin, Michael, to me, and I held him in my arms and placed my hand upon his head. And then Christopher, I held him in my arms and placed my hand upon his head. And I asked God's blessing that he would keep them and protect them and in time bring them to see the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that concern in the hearts of you who are parents? When you have children, is it your desire before they are able to come to Christ for you to personally bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is worthy? It is not that any salvation comes. It is not even when our Savior prays for them and lays his hands upon them. Our Savior cannot wish them into heaven. He said, you will not come unto me that you may have life. There has to be that coming. But this blessing prepares those infants until they become children. And that is the time to start. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And the thing that should be done is that the parents, before they do become children, should have them brought to Christ. You'll find that our Savior, when he was 8 days old, was circumcised, according to Leviticus chapter 12, that when our Lord Jesus Christ was 40 days old, he was presented to God and the sacrifices were offered. And when our Savior was 12 years old, he was taken to the feast at the temple in Jerusalem. And so his parents, from the time he was born, had all things that God expected of children to be fulfilled in him. What resistance can a child 8 days old or 40 days old have? But then they took that child, the age of 12, to the temple in Jerusalem. And how many, and this is what is so heartbreaking today, the young people that you get to meeting, do they want to stay or are they ready to go and play and get involved in the things that thrill their hearts? But the Lord Jesus, after all the days of the feast were fulfilled, he desired to stay and learn more of the Word of God. And this is when he was 12 years of age. And that is what God expects of our children today. But alas, if we can compel them to come and get them to come, but there should be as much a desire in the hearts of children to come and to learn as the older ones. And sometimes the children can be more zealous than their parents. And in the case of the Lord Jesus, it was so. To think that the Lord Jesus had to be taken from the temple and made to come home, whereas others are ready to go home and do whatever interests them. The Lord Jesus wanted to be in the temple. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. That's what the psalmist said. And the Lord Jesus could say the same. And so our Savior as a child was wanting to learn the Word of God, wanted to discuss it with older men. And this is what Paul says concerning Timothy. From a child, from an infant, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Timothy, from the time he came into the world, was exposed to the Bible. He was had made known unto him the things that if he understood and embraced them would make him wise unto salvation. And that is when you are to come and bring your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think now, since at different times in life, different things about God and his will are of interest to us, different things are within our comprehension. And so think of those in 1 John chapter 2. This is what John says. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Think of the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who can forgive you your sins. And it says, this was the comprehension of children. I write unto you because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And I can remember to this day, March the 27th, 1946, when I knelt and the thing that I wanted from God, I wanted to have my sins forgiven. And I knew that those sins could only be forgiven by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. They told me that the baptism that I had submitted to, the church membership, the good things I was telling them about that were in me, they were of no worth, but that Jesus Christ was the Savior of sinners. And I remember when I was 19 years old, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, you are the Savior, not the church, not anything that I've done, but you are the one who is the Savior. I'm trusting you for my salvation. And then as a young man, it could be said of me, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And what is the worth of Jesus Christ to you when you first come to him? You know he's the one who is able to forgive sins. He was challenged in that respect when he saw that paralytic brought to him. He said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they said, this man blasphemeth. No one can forgive sins save God. And the Lord Jesus said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to him, sick of the palsy, take up your bed and walk. And he took it up and walked, confirming that he had that authority on earth to forgive sins. And so the worth of Jesus Christ to me at the first was this. I have found a man who can forgive me my sins. It says this. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And that was the comprehension that I had as a child, as a young man. And I rejoice in it. I knew my sins were forgiven. But understand that after that, not one thing is said, but two things are said concerning children. I write unto you children because you know the Father. I knew my sins were forgiven. And then I understood that God was not only the Father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but he was the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understood that the God of our Savior had become my God, my Father. And I understood that as a young man. And I rejoice in that. Next, it says this. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I found soon after I trusted Christ as Savior, and I knew that the Lord was worthy to forgive me my sins and introduce me to the Father, the next thing I understood was that there was an enemy in this world, and the enemy was the devil. And I had been taught to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And there is this evil one who goes about seeking to devour whomsoever he will. And I understood that there was an enemy. But this is what comes with trusting Christ as Savior as a young man. You see, you're a child. But then as a young man, it says, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. For the first time in my life, I was able to overcome some of the temptations of sin. Whereas you went in one direction in your unsaved days, once you trusted Christ as Savior, you understood that there was worthiness in him not only to forgive sins, but to deliver from the power of sins. And I understood this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, And I understood that it was not only the forgiveness of sins, but also there was empowering by Christ to deliver from the power and the overcoming temptations of sin. And that's what it says concerning those young men in 1 John chapter 2. It says, you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the evil one. And so this is what is to happen. You are to exercise yourself unto godliness as a young man. And as you do, you become strong. It says in Hebrews chapter 5 that some, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that's what happens to young men as they exercise themselves in the Lord. They are strong, and the word of God abideth in them, and they've overcome the evil one. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And this is what is to happen in that development. You as a young man are to become strong, and the word of God is to be hidden in your heart, and you are to overcome the evil one. As our Savior was confronted by Satan, and he overcame and said, get thee hence, Satan. So you and I, by God's power and grace, are to overcome Satan and the temptations and the wiles of the devil. Now, it says we come to fathers, and that's what most people think when you say, when you get old, there is an appreciation of the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is your appreciation. It is not the increasing worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember preaching in an assembly for ever so many years. And so let's say I started preaching when I was 40. And when I was 60 years old, that birthday arrived, and I told them that I was 60 years old. And somehow I was preaching from the book of Leviticus, telling them the worth of God's people at different ages. From 1 month to 5 years old, you are worth 5 shekels. From 5 years old to 20 years old, you are worth 20 shekels. From 20 years old to 60 years old, you are worth 50 shekels. And over 60, you are reduced to 15 shekels. Well, now that didn't seem of much importance, but the treasurer came up to me and said, did you tell me that you were now over 60 years of age? He said, there's only one thing we can do. We can reduce you from 50 to 15. And so then I understood that I had taught them too much, and they had been thinking too carefully about the application of Old Testament worth and New Testament worth. But there is a difference, and God places that difference upon people. The age of 20 was when one could go to war. And also, those that served in the temple and in the tabernacle, they were a certain age, and they went to a different age, and then they were to retire. I can think of this. If I were one of the Levites that carried that brazen altar, how heavy that would be. And there were no carts or oxen to put it on, to carry it through the desert, but they placed it upon their shoulders. But then when they reached a certain age, God understood about that age and the weakness that comes. David forgot it. When, as a young man, he went out and fought giants, he thought that he could fight giants in his old age. But he understood that he would be overcome by that giant until his nephew went and delivered him from the giant. And God understands that. And so, when you become an old man, and a brother told me this, he said, about the Hutterites, he said, they do things different ways at different times. He said, when you are young, you get out and you cut wood. He said, when you get old, you go in the kitchen and you slice bread. They understood that. And so this is what God understands as well, that there are times to fight, to engage in contest with Satan and all the troubles of the world. But then finally, this is what it says concerning fathers, those that have reached the stage of maturity. I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. He says that the first time. And the second time he says, I write unto you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Know advance. When Paul says that I may know him, finally what has happened? Through being a child and a young man, you become a father, and there is a degree of comprehension of the worth of Jesus Christ, him who is from the beginning. Then as a mature man, you understand that he is the Ancient of Days. You understand that before Abraham was, he could say, I am. That thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And you can say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. You begin to understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Savior wants you to understand. That is why there should be a progressive and increasing appreciation of the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ as you grow older. Because the best thing is this, that when you grow old, certain things happen to you. If you are miraculously sustained, as Moses was, that is one thing. But if you are an ordinary man and God lets nature take its course, then when you near 70 years of age, you're hardly able to get out of the bed. There is no warmth in you. You grow old and you're ready to pass on. And then what thoughts come to your mind? I think of the prayer of the old man in Psalm 71. He says, O God, he said, forsake me not when I am old. Cast me not off when my strength faileth. Even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forget me not. Now that is a beautiful prayer, is it not? He understood that he had been young, and now he was old and gray-headed. He said, my strength is failing. I am an old man. He said, O God, care for me now as then. And this is God's answer to him. In this farewell writing that Moses gave to the children of Israel, he says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He says in Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And God says this in Isaiah 46. He said, even until you have a hoary head, I will sustain you and uphold you and care for you. And so that is why, indeed, the worth of Christ is most greatly appreciated when you become old. Because you cannot say, young people, I have been young and now am old. Yet, you cannot tell me of that experience. But those who are old can say, yes, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And now, 75 years of age, I can say that God is faithful, who has never forsaken, who has kept all of his promises, that he said, that which you've begun in me, you will perfect. This is what he tells them in Philippians. He who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we do not have to say, O God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We do not have to say, O God, cast me not off in my old age. But we can think of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so this is why the message was this. The increasing worth of Jesus to his own as they grow older. And you may grow old. However old you grow, Jesus will become more and more of worth to you. There's none like him. Embrace him as your Savior. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that when you sent everyone else to do your job, that there was failure, there was rejection. But you said, I have yet one, a beloved son, I will send him. And you did, our God. And though they rejected him, yet, Father, in that rejection and in that crucifixion, you found a way to forgive man his sins, and we rejoice in this. And we thank you that you've sent this one from heaven, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank you that you permitted us to begin to look upon your Son, and you told us that in a coming day we shall see him face to face. Then shall we understand fully, even as also we have been fully known. We rejoice, our Father, in your great faithfulness, because the firm foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And so let us do that, Father. Let us eschew evil, and let us pursue good, and let us day by day understand more and more as we grow older the increasing worth of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.